You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Tonight's year, I want to divide it into three parts. One part will be on the nyane of being misabel for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The second part will be on the inyan of Shabbos Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av Shechalis B'Shabbos. And the very third part, the third part of this year, will be a nice pshat in the Gemara of Kamtza Bar Kamtza. So hopefully someone will come out of here, the three parts of this year. Hopefully people will come out with some sense of something. Inspiration, if you will, to approach the day of Tisha B'Av, which this year, as everyone knows, is a nidcha, and we're going to talk about that hopefully in a little bit of detail as to what that does, how Shabbos plays a function in that, and hopefully we'll conclude with a cute thought or idea I had based upon a medrash to explain the Gemara of Kamtza Bar Kamtza. We begin with the Chassam Sofer in the Drushes, Chel Gimel, Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Chassam Sofer tells us. The Gemara tells us about this Tainus. These are where the Gemaras are that particularly deal with Tisha B'Av and Shavuos Batamas in the 3 weeks. Very end of Masechtas Tainus. The Gemara there says, and by the way, not to pitch or self-promote, I think next week I may be doing this gig on Thursday night, which is Tu B'Av. And I just want to be Medea the Oilam. I think I have a very beautiful brand new shot in the understanding of what Tu B'Av, the Yontif, is, connected with the Churban and the Nechama. And so I invite you all back here. Hopefully at that point we'll have some cholent. Sam will make sure we have cholent next Thursday night. And it will be hopefully a day of simcha. And hopefully the day of Tisha B'Av will also turn into a day of simcha b'kar of mamish. The Gemara tells him, Dr. Tainus, Kolam Mis'abel Yerushalayim Zoiche V'roya B'nachamasa. Whoever's Mis'abel on Yerushalayim will is Zoiche, Lashon Hoiva, V'roya, Lashon Hoiva, B'nachamasa. And ask the Hilchos Chassam Sofer a question that many, many ask. Shouldn't the Lashon of the Gemara be, Kol HaMesabel HaYerushalayim Yizke Lirois B'Nechamasa, will be Zoyche to see its Nechama? Why does the Gemara use the Lashon of Zoyche V'Roya, which are both Lashon Hoiva, and in Dikduk means it's actually currently occurring, as opposed to it will occur in the future, Lashon of Asid? So with that question, we begin to understand a little bit of the Nyanei of Tisha B'Av, what they represent, and with that we'll travel a little bit with the Mahalach HaChassam Sofer, the Yeshuas Yaakov, the Kedushas Levi, and that hopefully will give us an understanding to some fascinating stories that we have throughout history that occurred on the night or the day of Tisha B'Av. We know, it says the Chassam Sofer, and everybody here knows, but we'll experience this in a few days, that the day of Tisha B'Av is the day of Moed. And the Halach HaLamaisa, we do not say Tachnan on a day of Moed, and so therefore we do not say Tachnan, although we're sitting on the floor saying Kinnis and Lamentations and reading Eicha and everything else, we will not say Tachnan because the day of Tisha B'Av is called a day of Moed. And as the Chassam Sofer says, Haloi Pele, isn't this a wondrous event? It's the most ironic event of all time. The lowest day on the Jewish calendar, perhaps the most depressing day on the Jewish calendar, is a day that's called Moed in Chazal, to the extent, halacha l'maisa, you will not say Tachnun on that particular day. We have to obviously pause and give us some time for thought to understand what exactly Tisha B'Av is representing. Obviously, it has these ironic or bizarre behaviors in that. On one side, it's extreme depression, extreme sadness. I shouldn't use the word depression. And then on the other side, it seems to have an element of joy built into it. Tells us the Hilchos Chassam Sofer. The Bnei Shlom, and this is similarly in the Yeshuas Yaakov and also in the Kedushas Levi, we'll touch on each of those individually. They all tell us a very interesting thing. If someone's misabel on Yerushalayim, which I believe, according to some statistics I've seen today, happened 1,946 years ago, was Churban Bayis Sheni. We're almost at the 2,000 mark of Churban Bayis Sheni, if I'm not mistaken. Almost 2,000 years ago, the Jews in every single element in the diaspora have sat down on the floor the night of Tisha B'Av and cried their kishkes out for a churban that happened and destruction that happened, even though many subsequent events have happened since then. The Shoah, there was certainly the Inquisition, pogroms, crusades, you name it. Yet we sit down every year and collectively make this as our day of grief and sit on the floor and cry for an event that occurred, a building being destroyed, if you will, 1,946 years ago. How do we understand that? Tells us the Chassam Sofer. You know how you understand that? Because we know, and we know this from Yosef HaTzadik when he was taken away from Yaakov Avinu, that there's a concept of a mace. The Bnei Shlom gives a koyach and a matana, if you will, in certain respects, to a person, that a mace is nishtakach min halev. If something is gone, if something passes on and moves on and people move on from there, the Ribbono Shel Olam puts a koich into a person in order to function, that he gives the koich of shikcha into a person, so a person forgets perhaps very bad and very sad and very depressing tragic events so that someone can move on. If one were not able to move on, people would just not function in society. So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam, kivyachol, if you will, it's maybe even a gift considerably, that a person should have his koich of mace being the shtakach min alev. We know there's a concept of shiva, shloshim, a year, and after that there's an element of shikcha that kicks in, and that allows a person to function. If somebody were to retain the grief that he had initially, then that in the concept is, we know it's from Yosef HaTzadik and Yaakov Avinu. Yosef HaTzadik never died, and so the Yaakov Avinu, the Torah tells us in those parashas, was never mekabel tanchumim, because in fact Yosef was alive. And since Yosef was alive, Yaakov Avinu never accepted tanchumim on him. Tells us the Chassam Sofer, that is what's occurring here. The fact that we sit every single year for 2,000 years and cry and lament and weep over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and everything that it included, all of our glory, shows that it is very much alive. Tells us the Chassam Sofer. Our Bezayt Lashon HaGemara is very well. Kol Mesabel Yerushalayim Zoyche V'Roye Ben Achmasot, currently, not just in the future he'll be Zoyche to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps he will, hopefully he will. But even if he doesn't, don't think for a moment, this is an element of the Nechama. The fact that you have not forgotten the Beis HaMikdash shows you that it's very much alive. That's the Chassam Sofer in the Drushes. I want to move over to Yeshuas Yankov. Yeshuas Yankov says something very similar. He says, Zeh Lo'ois Ashiyesh Tikvach Riseinu, on the same concept, the same Gemara. Again, the concept of it very much being alive. He goes into the Avelis piece and tells us again that this is a matter of the Ribbono Shel Olam's koyach, and the fact that we don't forget makes it very much alive. The Kedushas Levi says in Parshas Dvarim, Ma'ididish Mishkin Aisecha V'gam Nichsav V'gam Kolsa Nafshi, that we use the Lashon of Mashkin as opposed to a Mecher. Our Beis HaMikdash destruction in the fact that we are in Golos is only a Derech Mashkin, not that we are fully destroyed or fully lost. And so therefore this concept of us continuing to be Mis'abel on Yerushalayim and on the Beis HaMikdash makes it something that is very much alive and is in essence a part of the Nechama, and perhaps, as the Chassam Sofer, that may be what's in play in terms of the Yontif, in terms of Tisha B'Av being considered to be an element of Yontif today, because is Nechama built into it. In it itself, there's already inherently a Nechama built into it. With this understanding that we, Yidden, can understand, there is a fascinating story. The story is brought down in article in the introduction to every single Kenneth. I try to read it every year. It's also brought down the Lev Elio, and it's brought down from the Ramah in the Sefer Teres Ayla. Ramah wrote many Sfarim. As a matter of fact, I once read, I don't know if it's completely accurate, Ramah was 33 years old when he died. He died in Lag Ba'omer, and he wrote 33 Sfarim. Not sure if every one of the elements are true, but that's Kiyidua, that's what they say. As a matter of fact, in Lag Ba'omer, people used to go in Krakow. They lived in Europe. They went to Ramah's Kever. One of the Sfarim he wrote was Teres Ayla. A lot of Kabbalah things, a lot of interesting things in there. One of the things he brings down, I'll just quote it. Again, you can read it, and I encourage everyone to read it again, and we'll go through this story and one other story, and we'll see how this Chassam Sofer and this Yeshuas Yankov and this Kedushas Levi will help us understand this tremendously. The Ramah tells us that when Nebuchadnezzar came to destroy Yerushalayim, he took along with him a very, very famous personality. That personality was Plato. Plato, the philosopher, is in the Ramah. After Churban Abayis, he went into Har Abayis, and he sees Yirmiyahu HaNavi sitting on the floor, literally crying, b'chiyus, Koil, the Lashon of is Reis Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Boichem Ma'oidu, Morim Kol Nihi, V'kina Al-Churban, completely crying. Tells him, Plato, I have two questions for you. He says as follows, you're the greatest Chacham among the Jews. Why are you crying on Eitzim and Avonim? That was question number one. Question number two is, this is already in the past. You're now crying over destruction? That happened already. So why are you crying over destruction? You're not facing... at least at that point in his life, maybe it was right after everything was done, you're not facing anything now. It's not roi for chacham to you to cry in the past. That was what Plato told him. It says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, this is what it says in there, and again, you can read this in the article in the English version. Yirmiyahu HaNavi tells Plato, you are what's considered one of the greatest philosophers living today. You must have many things that trouble you other than these two issues that you just raised for me. Let me hear what you have, and maybe I can help you understand some of them. And Plato then goes ahead and says, of course I do. I have a lot of things I don't understand in life, and lists all the things that are bothering him. Tells him, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, listen to me. I'm going to explain to you and answer every one of your questions. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi goes ahead, and Kala'acha Yad responds to every single one of the issues that Plato placed in front of him. Plato was completely in shock. And he said, I wouldn't even believe that you are a human being based upon the amount of knowledge and wisdom that you possess. Tells him Yirmiyahu HaNavi, all the wisdom that I have, that you just heard me respond to every single one of your deep philosophical issues, inquiries, and questions came from these stones and these bricks and these pieces of wood. That's where all of that came from. And then says Yirmiyahu HaNavi, regarding your second question, how I can cry over something in the past, says Yirmiyahu HaNavi again, this is imprinted in many different places, that is something your Goyish couple will never be able to understand. That's the story with Plato. There's also a story with Napoleon. Napoleon once passed by a shul, and this story I will tell you, I did Google today because it's a little closer to our times. The bloggers are not Mashtikal Masupik. It has provenance. It goes back at least to the 1800s in terms of Svarim. Shaila was what exactly the end of the story was, but clearly Napoleon passed by a shul in France, perhaps it was Russia, and he heard people crying, and he asked the guy with him, what is going on? And then they told him, it's the day the Jews are crying over the destruction of the temple, which at that point, take off a couple hundred years, was 1800 or 1700 years earlier. To which, here's the question, Napoleon actually said, oh, if they're able to cry over that, and this nation will endure forever. Or some say, he said it's a totally different lashon, which is, well, if that's what they're crying, they should just pick themselves up and fight instead of, whatever. And many of the shyness of Napoleon of what he said, but clearly, it was the same concept that was troubling him. I think, perhaps, we, Eden, can understand all of this with the Koyach Lechsam Seifa and the Teretz Yeshua Siyagim and the Kedushas Levi. That Plato did not understand, we understand. The fact that we are crying today over what we lost then is a component of that we never lost it. It's not a thing in the past. If we're able to cry over it, as the Gemara tells us about this time, it's zoyche v'royeh b'nachemasa. It is a current event. Plato asked Yirmiyahu HaNavi, how are you crying over something that happened in the past that you're such a smart? Yeah, genius. It didn't happen in the past. We are keeping it alive. It's not nishtakach menaleiv. It's something that's very much alive. And perhaps that is the answer. That is the answer that we all understand, because we understand this concept and what we do and what the purpose of Tisha B'Av and approaching Tisha B'Av is, which is keeping it alive, keeping it current. And that is exactly the terror that Plato could never understand. Okay, that was an introduction. I wanted to then move on. So this is the Inyan of Avelis. This is the Inyan of what we're doing, of keeping the Binyan based Amigdash, perhaps even a component of the Nechama already built into it, the Moed. But I wanted to switch gears, and that's all for a regular year. This year is unique. This year is unique in that Shabbos, this year Tisha B'Av, each and every one of us here will be eating. Not just eating well. Three sudas, kisuda shleima b'shata, as if stated in the Shulchan Aruch, eating mamish b'shkia of Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. We will then fast on Yud B'Av, but we will completely eat on Tisha B'Av. And I just want to begin with a question that's troubled me, and hopefully through the expounding that we'll do here with the Chassam Sofer, with some Chassidish Mahalchim, we'll see really that they're very, very much aligned. Perhaps you can also understand the following. Everyone here knows that the Tanaisim that we have throughout the Jewish year, mostly, except for Tanis Esther, which is related to Purim, everyone else is related to Churban Beis HaMikdash. We have Sarah B'Tavis, we have Shasa B'Tamas, we have Tisha B'Av, obviously, and we also have the Taim Gedalia, all related to the Churban and events that occurred around the Churban. We all also know that the Jewish calendar was structured in such a way that certain days can't fall out otherwise, but if Sarah B'Tavis fell out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos. Here's a Pella. Sarah B'Tavis, you'd fast on Shabbos? Or B'Tisha B'Av? The culmination of everything, where the Beis Hamikdash's mamash for Brentzit was destroyed, we're going to sit and we're going to eat three sudas tomorrow? These are first statements. This. Nishnad dem, the Gemara only handles with Tisha B'Av, Shecholis B'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av, Shecholis B'Shabbos, that means automatically, everyone here knows that Shabbos B'Tamas has to fall out on Shabbos. But the Gemara isn't handling with that at all. The Gemara handles with Kibbush Nidcha Yitchem. We're going to discuss that a little bit and hopefully come away with an understanding of what Tisha B'Av is special agabe, this particular prat, and comes down Shabbos. To begin with, I want to mention a word from the Halakha of Yisrael. Yisrael is the Abdur Rav. We spoke about him a little bit last time, my Shvez Elta Zayda, but listen to the words of the Abdur Rav. Abdur Rav says this, the Tfer Shleima says this, there are not many other Chassidus from talk about this, and then we'll also see a Mahalach of the Helig Chassam Seifa. We'll read you the Lashon. Yesh Shleima Asha Shabbos Chazayin Hu Yoyseg Godol B'mayla Mikol Shabbos Hashanah. We are approaching, we are holding Erev Shabbos, Leil Shishi, we are approaching the greatest Shabbos of the year. Al derech shenishalti pam echa levar hamedrash isa sham lahoya yoy moyed li Yisrael kiyem shenechrav beis hamigdash. The medrash of Pliya, it says, there was no greater yontif to Klal Yisrael than the day that the binya of the beis hamigdash was destroyed. Vu pella, says the Yisrael. This is wondrous, this is not understandable. And kvar omad bezeh balam achab emishne melech, and in the Parshas Derocha, many svarim have handled with this medrash, what does it mean? Tells us the Oyev Yisrael. There's a Chazal that tells us, Chayiv Adam Lifgoid Es Ishtoi B'Shosha Yoytzel Aderech. A person is supposed to relate with his wife when he leaves and is Yoytzel Aderech. Tells us the Oiv Yisrael, that is what's occurring on the day of Tisha B'Av, and says the Oiv Yisrael one step weiter, the Prat Kishachol Yom Tisha B'Av B'Shabbos V'Havin Hetev. So the Baruch Shalom Kiviyachol is being mifkoid es ishtoi b'shoshi yoytzel aderech, and some say this is actually why in the time of the destruction based on Mikdash, when it came to the Kodesh Kodesh, and the Kruvim were hugging and embracing each other. It makes no sense. The whole entire base of Mikdash was destroyed because Klal Yisrael was not doing what they're appropriately doing, and the Gemara tells us that the Kruvim faced each other when things were good, they turned around, they weren't, and here they were embracing each other because the greatest love, chayiv adam lifkoid es ishtoi b'shoshi yoytzel aderech, and tells us the Oyev Yisrael, and of course this is befrat kishachal yom tisha b'av b'shab. V'haven hetev. He doesn't really explain much more about that. What does this all mean? What does this mean? What does Shabbos mean? How is this all tied together? So for that, we move on to a couple of other Hasidic Sfarim, and then we're going to come to the Chassam Sofer, and they'll see how this really comes together very, very, hopefully very beautifully. The Tver Shloim at Radomska tells us, again, he elaborates a little more on this concept, and he tells us something pleiadic. He says as follows. When Shabbos comes, he says as follows. It's based upon a pasuk in Vayikra, I think it's Bartoche. Oz tiratze haratze shabse seha kol yimei heishama. Va'atem be'eretzo yivechem oz tishboi saaretz v'hirtzas es shabse seha. Zokte ha-shabasois bizman ha-galus are gvoyim be'yoisim ha-shabasois that they were in the time of the Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. We are living in Golos. We're living in Golos now for 1946 years. The Shabbosim that we're living today in this Golos are higher Madrega de Shabbosim than the Shabbosim that they were in this Mancha Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. And then he explains. Because when the day of Shabbos comes, it's the day of Simcha for the Rebbeinu Shloilam. Greater perhaps than the Beis HaMikdash, because Shabbos Kodesh is Nasa Yichud Lamayla, we connect with the Rebbeinu Shloilam in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Yemei HaChol of Golos are so much lower than they were Bizman Shabbos Beis HaMikdash HaKayim, because the Rebbeinu Shloilam was Imi Anoichi B'Tzara, he was together with us in the Tzara, which is the days of Golos. So when Shabbos Kodesh comes, it's just a greater differential. Think about it. If the Bizman Beis HaMikdash Rebbeinu Shloilam was with us all the time, Shabbos maybe is a step higher. But now we're so much lower, it's Imi Anoichi B'Tzara, they get to the day of Shabbos, which retains its supremacy, is a greater leap. So Shabbos of the days of Golos, or perhaps even a greater level than they were Bizman Shabbos Beis HaYikayim. And then he says, so when the Tirat Zaharetz Shabbos Yisrael are talking about the Shabbosos that the Baruch Shalom is with us, as we say in Luchadoidis, Rav Loch Sheves Be'emek HaBacha. When Shabbos comes, the Yimei Atzarim are the Emek HaBacha, that's when we're lowering at a lowest level. Rav Loch Sheves, when Shabbos comes, this Shabbos is such a greater Koyach, we can able to come back to the Baruch Shalom at a much, much higher and greater level of Simcha, which is not Shaykh to do Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim. So, what do we do with the Shabbos? We know, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Kufi Ches Amar Aleph, Emre Naim tells us, is called a Ma'anigas HaShabbos, Noislan Loi Nachla Bali Mitzorim. When someone is Ma'anig Shabbos, and appropriately has Simcha on Shabbos, they gets a Nachla Bali Mitzorim. Tells us the Emre Noyam, that we have here is the Shabbos, when we have our Shabbos, and we're Ma'anik the Shabbos, we get a Nachla B'li Mitzorim. Mitzorim are Yimei HaMitzorim that we are in. If one is Ma'anik the Shabbos, particularly in these particular days, then the Meha Yitzorim, Meha Mitzorim go away. We're able to do away with this Avelus that we have in the Yimei HaMitzorim. So in fact, the day of Shabbos, as it's celebrated in the days of the Bein HaMitzorim, are on such a high level that we're able to actually do away, doing the Ma'anik Shabbos, where we're getting a Nachla B'li Mitzorim. We're not these days of Yimei HaMitzorim. How do we understand this? I just want to share with you a quick thought, a quick vitz that Rabbi Bunim Mipashishchi used to say. Shabbos Kodesh is a guest. Right? When Shabbos Kodesh has a guest, I'm sorry, when Shabbos Kodesh has a guest, it treats the guest with appropriate respect. L'moshel. You have Shabbos that Rosh Kodesh falls out on. You have Shabbos Hanukkah. So Shabbos is willing to accept its guest and give him a little gift. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh comes, Rosh Chodesh gets the mafta and the musaf. Shabbos Chanukah gets the mafta. You have a yontif that falls out on Shabbos. Shabbos gives away its entire musaf. It becomes a yontif to give musaf. You have a Shabbos Yom Kippur falls out upon it. Shabbos is willing to give away all its food. You don't have to eat on that particular Shabbos. But tells us, the Banu Pashischa, when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, that Shabbos already is not willing to accept. Then Shabbos says, no, 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 no. Tisha B'Av, you bring atzvos, you wait till tomorrow. We're not going to give you any credibility, any credence, and so in fact it gets pushed off. That's just a vitz. But what comes out of all these dvarim from the Imre Naim, the Tver Shleim, and the Levi Yisrael, is that Shabbos that falls out during the Bein HaMetzarim is a higher level, it's a level of simcha, it's perhaps even a higher level than it ever was before. And with that, we have to understand a little bit why, we're going to turn to the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer tells us there's a fascinating Gemara. So we now establish that Shabbos during the Bein HaMetzarim is very high. When Shabbos and Tisha B'Av fall together, it's even perhaps higher. But listen to this Chassam Sofer. The Sam Sofer tells us, the Gemara says, that Rebbe bikesh la'akir Tisha B'Av. At some point in time, Rebbe wanted to do away with Tisha B'Av. Rebbe wanted to be done with it. Says the Gemara there, let me find the Gemara here, find the Chassam Sofer, tells us the Gemara that that particular Shabbos, that particular Tisha B'Av that Rebbe was talking about, was Tisha B'Av Shechol Yais B'Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av were to fall out on Shabbos, then Rebbe Bikesh like Tisha B'Av, like the Megillim, Hey Amid Beis, and the Gemara there says it, that Kivan Sheyidcha in Yidcha, once Shabbos comes in, we're not doing Tisha B'Av, it should be pushed off indefinitely, forever. The Chachamim were not maskim. Tomorrow is going to be an interesting day, because tomorrow night is going to be Shabbos Chazoin, and it's a big machlokes, should someone change his clothing for Shabbos, should he not change his clothing for Shabbos, should we be noyig dvarm shebetzina? It is Tisha B'Av. We're going to eat our hearts away, we're going to have a good time and enjoy ourselves because it's Shabbos, but should one refrain from dvarm shebetzina? So Shulchan Aruch tells us, you're not supposed to change your clothing. Udvarm shebetzina noyeg. But the Rizal did not agree. The Rizal, lehera shum avelus klal. Zero. Zilch. Nada. He did nothing. Tells us the Chassam Sofer. What's going on? What's the Shulchan Aruch telling us? Shulchan Aruch, remember, is prepared for the Hamanam. Everyone to have their guidebook, the code of Jewish law, to know what to do. And the Rizal, perhaps, for the Yechidei Skula. But what's going on here? Tells us the Chassam Sofer. Rebbe was a very high level. Rebbe had to throw it for the Avelis of the Beis HaMikdash and for the Churban during the week, and probably sat down every night and said Tikkun Chatzos, so did Arizal, I'm sure. When it came Shabbos, they speared just Shabbos. No Avelis, zero, no Avelis. They're showing their love for Shabbos was the best way that they can show that they were mamash mesabel the entire week. Because when Shabbos came, Shabbos has no connection to Avelis. Shabbos is completely is what the schus were going to have for the geula. Shabbos is what contained them. Shabbos is what gave them all their schusim, and Shabbos didn't have any Avelis attached to it. Tells us the Chassam Sofer that Arizal was on that level. He did what he had to the entire week. He did all the Avelis he needed to. When Shabbos came around, he did not need to reflect any Avelis. Mashen came to us, unfortunately, we're not on that level. The Hamanam is not on that level. We don't perhaps plugzich or klugzich for the Churban appropriately during the week. And so therefore, when comes Shabbos, we're not on that level, that we are completely Shabbos. We have nothing to do with Avelis at all. So, says the Chassam Sofer, Rebbe bikesh la'akir Tisha B'Av. Rebbe was very high madrega. He said, you know what? I'm not spearing any. My full Shabbos is comparable to be misabel completely for Beis HaMikdash. That's called Masanig al Shabbos, is Nashna Nachla Bli Mitzarim. That's how I'm going to get my Nechama, and therefore I do not need to have any Shabbos. If Shabbos Shechol Yais B'Tisha B'Av falls out, then I will do a complete Shabbos without any Avelis, and I am done. Kiva Sheyidcha, Yidcha, we're done. But the Chacham told him, Rebbe, you're on a different Madrega. Perhaps later on you're the Arizal type of Madrega, where you have absolutely no Avelis at all. But the Hamanam isn't on that level. Says the Chassam Sofer, Dvarm Neflom Ad Ma'od. When we fast on Sunday this week, we will actually be doing a Tainis L'Tanisoi. We are going to be fasting for the extent that we didn't treat Shabbos appropriately. The whole Tainis of the Nidcha, of Yud B'Av, that we're going to fast the whole entire day for Tisha B'Av, is because we didn't treat Shabbos appropriately. Had we treated Shabbos appropriately at the full level, without any avails whatsoever, but we're not at that level. So L'Hoyd L'Chacham, Rebbe told Rebbe in the Gemara, Rebbe, you're dealing with people who are on a different plateau. You're dealing with Yechidei Skula, the Hamanam, the Arizals of the world, the big tzaddikim of the world, they're on that level. Those who are not on that level, but the Chiddush of the Arizal of Kumtois from this Chassam Sofer, the Chiddush is Meridik. The Chiddush Kumtois is that, in fact, when Shabbos comes around, we're supposed to have this level of Simcha that we just described from all the Svarim. The Shabbos is in itself the greatest Nechama for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash that we can possibly have by not showing any Avelis for the Beis HaMikdash. So that was the Mahalach Rechsam Sefer together with the Chassidish Shram. I wanted to conclude with a little Mahalach in the Gemara of Kamtza Bar Kamtza. Everyone here, as a matter of fact, I should say one other last thing, I forgot who says this, that the Mepsim Renayim, I forgot what it is, Ritzvah Shleima, that we have a cycle. Everyone calls the calendar the Jewish cycle of events, the holiday cycle. It's a cycle. It begins, and perhaps the highest point of it is the beginning of Makori Kodesh, which is Pesach. And perhaps the lowest point on our yearly cycle, if you will, the lowest point perhaps is going to be Tisha B'Av. Everyone here knows that you sit down at your Seder, you have an egg. You begin Shulchan Aruch with an egg. Why? So one of the major reasons given is because, as we say in the Eichas, Memroirim, it's actually the night of Tisha B'Av. The night of Pesach is the night of Tisha B'Av. Kumtois tells us that, maybe so I've struck, I got one of the Chassidus from, tells us that if you have a circle, and you begin at one point, the high point, and you come to the lowest point is actually right next to the highest point. Tisha B'Av and Pesach are side by side. We just unfortunately don't have the koyach to see it, but they are really, really closely aligned. Tisha B'Av contains within it the Nechama, just as Pesach is the beginning of the year and Tisha B'Av is the end. But when you have things so closely related, we just are, unfortunately, we have our blinders on, but perhaps laying within each one of these things is, in fact, the ultimate Geula, which is what Pesach represents, and obviously what, in Mitzvah Hashem, the Yontif of Tisha B'Av will represent. I just want to conclude with this. The Gemara tells us, Akamtza bar Kamtza Nechav Yishalayim. Because of the story of Kamtza bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. It's one of the Gemaras that many people read, Hanizakin. And Rashi tells us, who is Kamtza bar Kamtza? Two fine Jews. Kach, Shem, Shnei, Yehudim. As Isaac and Rashi often art. L'cher is a Pella. Who were these two people? Not who are these two people. If you want to blame Lamazuk and bar Kamtza for what he did, why is Kamtza at fault? The Mefarshim asked this question. Why is Akamtza bar Kamtza Nechav Yerushalayim? What did Kamtza do wrong? He was simply an invitee to a party. What did Kamtza do wrong? Bar Kamtza went ahead. He didn't like what happened. He made a ganza taram. So you want to say, on the Maisa, Bar Kamtza was Nizgalgal Chorban Yerushalayim. But why should Kamtza's name be dragged through the mud? Good kasha, no? It's a friggin' all of the Mefarshim. So before we get there, there's a Masha involved here. There is some shaylus about what the names were. There's a Ben Yehuda. Ben Yehuda says, you know why Kamtza's at fault? Because Kamtza sat there. He ultimately came to the Suda, and he sat through and he saw him throw out Bar Kamtza. So why don't you open your mouth? Oh, but the shaila is on that. If that's the problem, then why is he any worse than anyone else in the room? So that can't be, that perhaps they asked that as a kasha. So the Chida comes into play. The Chida tells us that there was a Kamtza bar Kamtza. It wasn't really their fault, but through them was Mechor Yerushalayim. Fine, there's various truths. There's a maral on this thing. I wanted to introduce you to something that I saw last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, that I thought was very, very fascinatingly informative. There is a medrash. There's a medrash in Eicha, Perek Dalet, Beis, I think. And the medrash in Eicha is on a pasuk. The pasuk says in Eicha, "Bnei Tzion Hayikarim," these precious young youthful people who lived in Tzion. What does that mean? What does that mean they were Yikarim? Tells us the medrash, "My Hayir Yikarusan." What made them so special? Says the medrash. Iroini, if someone, not Aroini and Zalif and Satma, nothing to do with that, Iroini, someone who lived outside Yerushalayim, who lived in a shtetl ergetz, Shinasa Yerushalmas, who married a Yerushalmi, Hayinoisin La, Mishkol Azav. So, if you married up, you were an outsider, you were a local kid marrying a Yerushalayim, a girl, you gave her special jewelry for this thing, for this marriage, for the possibility you're getting to marry up. V'chein Yerushalmi, if you were the Yerushalmi Bucha, Shinasa Iroinus, you married someone from the Shtetlich, Hayinoisin La, Mishkol Azav. Then they had to give him an expensive gift because they were precious people. Then the measure says, Dava Acha. What does this mean? People would not participate and attend someone else's simcha unless they were nikra v'nishna. They were invited and then re-invited. What does that mean? There's various ways to understand this. The one that Purushim often tells us here, that's perhaps what went wrong here. I wanted to tell you, perhaps, I think it's not really my idea, I saw on a footnote on one of his farm here, that's what happened here. Because these Bnei Tzion considered themselves Yikar, We're precious people. We don't just come to Simchas, you send me an invitation in the mail. I need a phone call. I need an invitation in the mail. Follow up with a phone call and then an email or two. And then I'll get back to you and I'll consider my giving you the honor of having you, my presence at your Simcha. Perhaps that's what went wrong in the story. Kamtza bar Kamtza, they were living in Jerusalem. That's where they were living. So perhaps because of what they required of this invitation, this re-invitation, and you got to come back to me a few times, that's where things went wrong. So the guy knocked on the wrong door. How many times are you going to keep inviting the same person? Yankel, go invite him. He invites him. Next day, so another guy knocks on the wrong door. He says, you know, I want to invite you. Perhaps that is why the two names are in fact listed in the story of the Churban Yerushalayim, because each one was a participant. Because they held themselves to a higher standard, B'nai Tzion HaYikarim, that is perhaps why both names are reflected in the cause of the destruction of Yerushalayim. How do I know this may be somewhat true? Because the Gemara tells us in Seftas Brachas. The Gemara tells us in Seftas Brachas that Kala Mesameach Chosen V'Chosen Kala Kilibona Churvus Achas M'Churvus Yerushalayim. One's left of the other. And now we can even understand my Shevet Brachas. What does that have to do with another? Because it occurred. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash happened through a simcha, perhaps it was a chasana. Therefore, the antidote to that is my selfless act of my participation in your simcha and keeping you happy. That is the antidote of what went wrong originally. Originally, the whole Tayyar Shalim was destroyed because it was a Suda, Simcha, Lamazuk, it was an Asuin, whatever it was, and I went ahead and because of my held myself high, whatever it was, I didn't consider myself good enough to come to you. The antidote is my coming to your simcha, being Mesameh, Chasam Mekala. I'm coming to your simcha. Kol Mesameh includes everybody, not just the father, mother, and the siblings. I come to your simcha. Tantzach Badan simcha is an act exactly antidotal to what was the cause of the Beis HaChurban Beis HaMikdash. And that, perhaps, with that, we can take away from this, is that what Hayoyitz Mikol HaDvar Me'elu is, we know that we're Mesabal on Beis HaMikdash, that is the actual act of Aroyah B'Nechama B'Nechamasa. We know that Shabbos and coming together with Tisha B'Av is one of the highest days of Simcha, and perhaps that is the way Kol Ma'anigas of Shabbos is Kenachla B'li Mitzorim, without doing away with the Yimei HaMitzorim, and hopefully that will be the day. And ultimately, by giving of ourselves a Havas Chinam, and being participating and feeling and spearing Yenes Simcha will ultimately lead us to Mashiach Tzidkenu for every man.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.